a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. Yes, we are now a two-hour show, thanks to you guys who are taking your time to listen each and every week. Thank you for doing that. And don't forget, you can always catch it as a podcast if you don't catch the whole show. Off the Woodwork from 92.9 The Game. Make sure you are subscribed on the Odyssey app or anywhere you get your podcasts. Earlier, Madison Cruz and I had the chance to sit down with somebody who doesn't need a whole lot of introduction around here, Atlanta United legend Brad Kazan. This was Brad's first extended interview since his retirement. It comes at an interesting moment. Preseason's underway, a new coaching staff that he knows is in place, the club beginning a reset. So we started in a really simple place. I asked Brad how he's feeling about that decision to retire now that preseason is underway and he would normally be joining the team and get used to that routine. Well, he's not now. And I asked him just kind of how he was feeling now that the season is getting closer. Here's our conversation with Brad Kazan.
You know what? I've not really allowed myself to, I guess, sit down and think about it. I've tried to stay busy. I'm waking up before the sun comes up to work out and get some of that energy burned off before my day starts, and doing the school run and, you know, drop off, pick up all the youth sports in the afternoon. So, still trying to, you know, do that, stay fit, stay active. More time with my wife, I think probably more than she's wanting to be with me. And she's like, listen, you need to go back to work. You need to go find something. And so, yeah, it's been good. You know, the way last season finished throughout the off season, you know, you always think like, what is that going to feel like when preseason starts? Right. And, you know, you see all the pictures, you see all the videos, you see all the fitness that's being done, all that, all those fun things that you're like, oh man, this is a part of training camp that's, you know, you have to do it, but it's not always the best. And so I think maybe when the games kind of roll around, I'll maybe sit down and reflect a little bit more. But yeah, just trying to stay busy and, you know, keep my mind, you know, focused on where my feet are at.
I'll ask too, you know, you jumped in a little bit at the very end of last season tail end and even beginning of this year on the broadcasting side. For you, was it weird stepping into that role? I mean, you've done it before as well, a couple of times before, but stepping into it in this new light almost, did it almost feel a little bit weird? And, you know, continuing further on, you know, especially with everything happening here, you know, looking forward to seeing you back on the air as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something again that I was like, oh my goodness, this is so weird, right? Because I'm a fan of the game. I love the game of soccer. The you know, it's provided so much for me in terms of just, you know, my enjoyment, my life. It's such a big part of who I am. And so to now transition and be able to just talk about it and talk about the game, talk about players, that part is what I enjoy doing. You would do that in the locker room with your teammates. You do that with your friends at a restaurant, you know, having dinner. And so now all of a sudden you're just doing it on camera, with a microphone, and it's, I guess, no different from a camera sense than playing on a Saturday night, right? There's thousands of cameras everywhere in front of all the fans. Everyone's got a cell phone. And so it's that part has never been difficult for me. So I was extremely grateful for the opportunity, because as much as you want to think that you're ready for it and, you know, it's certainly a transition. It certainly, you know, takes practice, takes an adjustment, and something that I'm looking forward to certainly dabble in a little bit more as 26 carries on.
Yeah, we've talked about 26 and just what it looks like for everybody involved in the game. With you not on the field this year, what does this year look like for you? I mean, you mentioned some broadcasting. Like, what else are you looking to get involved in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, again, right? You know, it's, for me, it's, you know, I'm looking to you know, still having conversations with the club and be involved with the club. And, you know, I think that I have certainly something to offer in terms of, you know, my experience and, you know, all of the time that I spent with the club and before that. And so I want to, you know, after the last game of last season, I said, you know, as I was speaking on the pitch about making sure, you know, last year doesn't happen again. And I think I can certainly, you know, add something from off the field standpoint of trying to navigate those waters a little bit and help those that make those decisions. And so having those conversations and then, you know, as you mentioned, the broadcasting, I think there's going to be potential for opportunities there. And so being able to dip my toe back in those waters. And then we know that the summer is going to be crazy. We know that, you know, with the tournament itself, with us hosting 8 games, it's going to be wild. And so I'm anticipating to be involved at some level around the World Cup and, you know, what that looks like exactly. I think there's a lot of people with much more important positions in different places that are having those conversations now. And so that remains to be seen, but certainly to be involved with the tournament, to be involved, you know, whether it's with the city or on a bigger scale, just the competition in itself and being able to, you know, really enjoy and experience the World Cup here on our home soil.
We'll have to have you on for our AST special every single day to talk about U.S. men's national team during the World Cup, because we're going to need all the help. We got to rest our voices a little bit, you know?
I love it. I love it.
But speaking of the U.S. men's national team, I mean, it's a big tournament for them. It's obviously on home soil. With what we saw, I think, towards the end of 2025, it felt like the team was really getting on a roll and we're finding the rhythm a little bit. What do you anticipate from them heading into these friendlies that are going to be here in Atlanta in March and then also heading into the tournament as well as we get ready for 2026?
When you look at how they finished 25, and obviously you've got the European players that are carry on throughout their season, through the winter months, the holidays, into the new year. But then you've got the MLS guys that obviously have taken a break. They've got to get back up to speed. But you would anticipate from a national team perspective that they carry on where they left off and they're going to be facing two really, really tough opponents in Belgium and Portugal, two teams that are World Cup bound that, you know, some on their, on some people's books, you would argue that they're semifinalist or finalist or whatnot, right? There's a real talk. And so these are going to be two really tough games for the U.S. and games where they're going to have to say, right, this is what the summer is going to look like. This is who we're going to be facing. This is what it's going to look like. How are we going to perform? And in the midst of that, you're also going to have the individual, you know, I don't want to say grading, right? But, you know, you're going to have a coaching staff that is looking at these players saying, hey, individually, who can I count on in these big games, in these big stadiums, in these big moments, and they're fighting for positions. And so in the grand scheme of things, yes, it's a huge test for the team collectively. Individually as well, you're going to have players that are fighting to try and find a spot on that roster. And so I think it's an exciting test for the team. It's an exciting test for the individuals. It's also an exciting test for the city and mm-hmm. you know, our fans and soccer fans here in Atlanta to, one, showcase the city, showcase Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then, two, we're lucky enough to be able to get the taste of what this summer is going to be like in terms of having, you know, two huge games.
I feel like you're in a really unique position to talk about this. You know, in the media, the end of last year, you got a chance to be around the team and be around Mauricio Pochettino and what he's building. I've always felt like there's a lot of similarities between Poch and between Tata. And having played for Tata Martino and those two coming from the same area and the same school, what is maybe not understood about Pochettino here in the U.S. when we talk about this U.S. men's national team? Because I feel like especially the way the team finished in 25 didn't match the narrative for a lot of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at him as a manager, first and foremost, in terms of the players that he's managed, the clubs that he's managed at, and just his overall presence, there's certainly a feeling of, hey, we're representing the national team. And we all know Argentinians are extremely proud of their national team, their country, and also football, right? Just the sport in general, in terms of, hey, you're playing a sport we all love. You're now playing at the highest level, representing your country. You need to walk in these doors into this hotel day one when you get off that plane to say, hey, I'm going to give everything to the cause, on the field, off the field, and I'm going to give everything. And I think if you do that as a player, you instantly get that respect back from the manager, whether it's Pochettino, whether it's Tata. And the thing I think, especially, you know, knowing Tata and playing under him and having success with him, you know, he wants guys that are going to continue to give blood, sweat, and tears. They're going to give everything to the group. And if you do that, then you're going to get that respect back. And I think from the little time that I spent with Pochettino, I think that's the same for him as well. And, you know, they all understand from a player standpoint, they all understand this summer is massive, right? This doesn't happen every World Cup that you get to host on your home soil. This isn't going to happen within their careers. This will be the one and only time. And you have to grab this opportunity with both hands. You have to make sure that you're doing everything leading up to it to be prepared, to be ready individually, collectively, and making sure that when the whistle blows for game one against Paraguay, that the U.S. team is fully in and they're ready to go.
I want to ask, too, about Tata specifically, especially him being your coach from 2017 and 18. For you, what were some things that stick out to you about who he is as a manager during that time? And, you know, looking back and him coming back to Atlanta here, like anything you can, you know, let us know about who he was, especially within the locker room and what he does, and especially getting this team getting ready to go into the MLS season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think as a manager, he's very personable. You're able to talk to him. And this is coming from a guy that I joke that my Spanish is good, my Spanish is terrible. And at the time, his English wasn't great. And so, excuse me, it was difficult to have a conversation. We were able to do it, and we did it with a smile on our faces. And we were able to understand what we were each saying. And I think when you have a manager that you can go speak to and you can have those conversations off the field as well as on the field about what is being asked of you as an individual, what's being asked of you from a tactical standpoint, it makes the picture that much more clear when you're on the field. And it helps in the cohesiveness. It helps in the understanding of, hey, what's this guy next to me looking to do? I understand his role and responsibility. That's going to help me better perform my role and responsibility. With that being said, he's fiery, he's passionate, and he certainly has that intensity about him, especially in behind closed doors, right? And being able to get into guys, you know, demand more out of guys when things aren't going well, you know, pat guys on the back when they are playing well, put his arm around you and know that you've got a real sense of caring and belief coming from the manager. You know, a short story, when I first came, I came from England, right? And we weren't playing out of the back. The position was just starting to change a bit. And I remember, we're building and we're doing exercises and whatnot of building up out of the back from goal kicks and being left-footed. I never once imagined taking a goal kick with my right foot. But the way he wanted the field to be open, right? You've got your left back high and wide. You've got your right back high and wide. Well, as a left-footer, it's going to be really difficult for me to run around the side of the ball to then try and play the left back. He's like, I'll just play with your right foot. And my head almost exploded right there on the spot. And I was thinking, wait, what? And yeah, just do it. You know, like, just do it. And he, you know, at that point in my career, coming from England after 9 years, being with the national team, he was giving me that confidence and that belief that says, yeah, okay, I can use my right foot. It's not just for standing. And guess what? Now, all of a sudden, when I play that ball with my right foot, their right back's not going to anticipate that. They're not going to expect that. And now they're not going to be jumping that pass. And that's going to give our left back another 2 seconds of time to control the ball, play the ball forward, and help, you know, relieve pressure and advance the ball down the pitch. And so that was just a little brief, you know, story of how he's given me confidence at a point in my career where I had been playing in the national team, like I said, playing in the Premier League, but he said, yeah, do it. No problem. And so he gives you that belief to go and try things in a positive way because it's going to help the team. It's going to help you individually. It's going to help the team. And he wants to put that confidence within the group.
It's something I always pointed out about your game that I think it's a credit to you because you made people forget this really easily that you weren't a goalkeeper who was building out of the back a whole lot before you came to Atlanta. And you picked it up real fast and looked like a natural at it.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's because of the confidence and belief that he had given me. And, you know, off the field, you know, Parky, Jeff, myself, we'd all be joking like, oh man, this isn't good. If I'm taking goal kicks with my right foot, like what is going on? Like keep the ball and play, Brad. So those guys would be giving me a hard time, but it was the belief and the confidence from Tata through his staff down to me saying, yeah, like just go and do it. And he'd be doing that throughout the team to Joseph, to Miggy, to different players, right? And I think he's going to do that with this group as well. And for me, that's really exciting.
I think the last one for me, you know, as we kind of wrap up this, because we've got a lot of different threads that we could continue down and we will over the next year. As you've kind of went through this whole process of saying goodbye to the game on the field and figuring out how you want to be in the game going forward, because you will be for the rest of your life. You're like the rest of us. You have a crazy love affair with the sport. What is this whole process taught you about the power of the sport?
Yeah, I mean, like when you say power, like in what way? Like, what do you mean?
Like the impact of it. I mean, like I think for me about how, you know, I've met people that have changed my life through the sport. I've met people that I would have never met without the sport. Things like that, like the yep. power of the sport to make your life better.
Yeah. I asked to just clarify for the sole purpose of when I hear the word power through the sport, my instant thought was the word relationships. And it, listening to you then clarify what you mean by that, you hear about, you're talking about people that change your life, people that have had an influence on you, people, and it's about relationships. And so I'm so grateful and thankful of the opportunities that I've had throughout my playing career. And not because of, yes, I got to be, you know, a part of this or a part of that or experience this or experience that, or I made this save or we beat this team. For me, it's about the relationships that I was able to have throughout my playing career, whether it be coaches, whether it be front office individuals, whether it be players and teammates. You know, it's funny. It's obviously my former roommate with the national team, Michael Bradley, now the coach of, you know, New York Red Bull. You know, Cameron Knowles. I played PDL with Cameron when I was probably 16 in Chicago. And so like I know Cameron from way back when, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, when I think about this and listen, I can go through the league and find somebody on a staff here or there of I played with or have a good relationship with or I'm friends with. And that makes me feel very grateful because like I said, the saves, yes, some people will remember saves. Some people will remember games. But you know, for me, I'll always remember the relationships and the friendships that this game has provided. And I know will only continue to provide. You know, this game has brought me to you guys. Right. And, you know, I consider you guys friends and it's been an amazing journey and one that I'm so thankful for, because you end up meeting similar like-minded individuals that love the game, that have a passion for it. As we all do, and to stay involved moving forward is something I'm really excited about.
Well, don't be a stranger here on 92.9 The Game. First off, we'll be talking a whole lot about everything going on in the game, all this crazy year that's ahead of us. Brad, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Anytime, guys. Thank you, guys.
That was Brad Kazan on his retirement, on the U.S. men's national team, on the World Cup coming, on a million different things. When you hear him talk, especially about that last part, about the relationships and how important that is to him, and you think about all the relationships that he's formed at Atlanta United, you realize how important he is to the identity of Atlanta United as a club. And I am looking forward to seeing what his role with the club is going to be in 2026 and beyond. It's not going to be on the field like it's always been, but it's going to be very, very important. When we come back, we'll zoom out to the rest of Major League Soccer, because this offseason is starting to feel a little bit like an arms race. Miami, Houston, Chicago, Austin, a lot of teams making big moves. That's coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.